You're listening to Shift in Action, a program of wisdom media and spirited exchange offered through the Institute of Noetic Sciences. For more information, visit www.shiftinaction.com.
You mentioned quite early that the problem with science was that it seems to ignore all the spiritual things. And the problem with spirituality was it doesn't explain anything. It says, well, God said so.
Yeah, and more or less.
If the soul is all-knowing, like you mentioned a little bit earlier, and there's a God you can talk to, does that deny your free will or your ability to choose?
No, it doesn't. See, the question of will is much more important to self than it is to the soul. It's a question that comes up, because will is associated with separation from everything else. Do I have free will? Can I move? I can move to my right and nobody can stop. It's more a question of self defining limitations for itself. Where the question of free will comes in. From the point of view of soul, it's a meaningless question. Because free will means, can I take an action in time? Can my cause make that effect? And the question of soul, cause and effect, is not meaningful. You're outside of time. All time is there. It's like you have a gigantic VCR, and you got a tape. You put the tape in, and you can run it forwards or backwards and watch the movie. In fact, just by fiddling with the dials, you can change the movie from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid to Frankenstein meets Abbott and Costello. And there's no problem. You can make anything happen you want to. From the soul point of view, all of time is present, like a great big VCR videotape. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's not a question of free will in the sense that you mean free will. It's only an important question. See, when people die, they're wondering, will I hang together? That won't be important to you when you die. It's important now because your senses lock you into a body and you think this is really important. But when you drop the body, that is no longer going to be an important question to you. It'll be as meaningless to you as, I don't know what could be meaningless to you. Something that's meaningless to you right now, whatever it is. Yeah, right. It'll be as meaningless to you as whether Clinton gets impeached or not. Maybe, yes.
Does that mean that good and evil is bound to the self?
Good and evil is bound is basically a way of thinking that when the resistance comes into being, there a good and evil side begins to appear. It begins to emerge. They're both present in each of us. We both have these sides. There isn't a human being here that has not murdered or raped or pillaged or caused innumerable harm to others. We've all done it. That's why we can understand. The difference is that now that we've done that, we possibly at this moment in our lives can be compassionate with all that is out there, because anything that's doing that is suffering, and we are all fundamentally suffering. So good and evil have to do with addictive properties, you might say karmic properties, that are beginning to emerge as we, in the present time of our space and time, are becoming more conscious, becoming conscious. It's never going to go away. I mean, I can't tell you that the end of time is not going to be good and evil. It'll be there too. But it won't be the same as we know it now. In Kabbalah, the Kabbalists tried to make this clear. They said, well, what is good? In Hebrew, it's tov, which means tet, vav, bet, which means the cell fertilizing its own creation, of the cell fertilizing its own. It's an endless cycle of fertilization of cellular structure. So what's good is whatever you can repeat and hold on to. Evil, Hebrew word for evil is ra, which means resh ein, which is the letter resh means universe, and ein means like eye opening. So opening of the eye onto the universe is evil. Breaking free. The Hebrew word for Satan is the breath of God acting as the return going into death, breaking open any cellular structure, producing cosmic indetermination. That's Satan. That's the meaning of Satan. What?
A couple more questions.
Are we ready to close? It's not 9:30. 9:30? Okay, a couple more questions. Oh, I also have books out there, by the way, so please, we need to get rid of those books before we go home, if possible. Yes?
Yes, sir. One of your key ideas there that I like was the idea of the dialogue.
Dialogue,
this
yes.
continuing dialogue between self and soul.
Yes.
Now, my idea of a real dialogue, both parties are learning.
Well,
yes,
it's fine. I mean, you could, in a way, the soul could be thought of learning. But you see, the soul and self are really one. I mean, you're talking to yourself in a mirror.
Mm-hmm. Say that again.
The soul and the self are really one. You're talking to yourself in a mirror. See, you already know all the answers. But as a self, you say, I don't know all the answers. I want to learn. Because learning is fun. In fact, you might be a learning addict. I am. I mean, I like to learn. I like those. If I've learned something, I'll go back and relearn it again because I enjoy understanding it again. That's why I like to do the New York Times crossword puzzles.
But is there an adolescent soul and a mature soul?
There's only one soul outside of time, and reflective at the beginning and ending of time. So in its early stage, at the Big Bang phase, it's adolescent or childlike. At the Big Crunch phase, it's an old being, but it's both simultaneously at the same time. Inside of you, there's a child, an old person, and a middle-aged person. And you can transfer your thought processes to any of those beings anytime you want to. There's nothing to prevent you from being anything, to having that conversation. See, the problem is we tend to identify with self. Why do you want to do that? Why not identify with soul in the first place? You can. You can look in the mirror and say, who's that guy? That's more quantum evidence of what I'm talking about. Is that, yeah, same, basically. Well, yeah, I didn't because, I mean, there's a lot of special topics we could get into. In fact, how many of you, this is just my own gratification, how many of you would be interested in doing a day workshop on the deeper implications of this? If you are, would you put your name down on a sheet of paper and give it to the person sitting out in front? Or do you have a piece of paper you could pass around to anybody?
We'll leave one on the table.
All right. Okay. That would be helpful. Then we can let you know about when a next workshop or seminar in the Bay Area will be taking place, and we can get a mailer out to you. Okay. Any other questions? Yes. The last one.
How does magnetism relate to all of this?
Well, electricity and magnetism are part of the resistance, part of light itself. And they're related to light, which is a funny kind of light. Is also light is the fertilization from spirit of the universe. The universe gets fertilized with ideas from light, so it's that. So electricity and magnetism is part of the resistance for that to happen. If there aren't any more questions, I'd like to say, you've been a great audience. I appreciate you coming out to be with us tonight, and I look forward to maybe seeing some of you at some later time. Thank you. Thank you very much.
We hope you enjoyed this offering from the Shift in Action Partners program and would like to sample more. Partners of the Institute of Noetic Sciences gain access to a weekly stream of inspiration, wisdom, media, and spirited exchange. The program includes live weekly teleseminars with visionaries who are lighting the way forward: Marilyn Schlitz, Dean Radin, Belvie Rooks, Larry Dossey, Candace Pert, Brian Swim, and many more. Our live teleseminars are then added to an extensive archive of audio and video on our website at www.shiftinaction.com, with new offerings each week from teachers like Marianne Williamson, Edgar Mitchell, and Louisa Teach. The site offers the latest in community-building software that allows you to engage every piece of content as a focal point for education, exchange, and action. Join us in exploring the frontiers of consciousness.